This is what I believe Jesus was talking about, starting at verse 60. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" When Jesus knew in himself that the disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you? What if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before?" Verse 63, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." His word, his living, powerful, eternal word of truth that he declares and reveals the heart of God in. When we feed upon the word of God, his truth, when we feed upon the living word of God, Christ himself, then we abide in him, then we walk in him, then he imparts to us everlasting life, and in him we will live forever and have eternal life. Jesus said it's all about what we do with his words, because his words are spirit and they are life. This word that we're studying, the pages on your Bible, are not just some black and red ink. Thank you. Amen. Stuff between leather. This is not some philosopher or some, you know, educated teacher somewhere in some university talking about what his political opinion is. These are the very words of God. They were breathed out by his Spirit, and they give life when we receive them and feed upon them. That's what it means to feast upon him. To truly feed upon Jesus is to feed upon his word. Let me explain what I mean. I don't have time to... Yeah, I don't have time to sum up. I have to explain. When we eat, eating involves a lot of things. It involves desire and appetite. It involves tasting. It involves chewing. It involves swallowing. It involves digesting. When we eat the Word of God, when we feed upon the goodness of the Lord, there's a desire and a taste. We meditate upon it. We obey it. We assimilate it and we're changed by it. We walk it out in a living relationship with Christ. And here's how it works. Let's put this in some digestible form. I present to you the five stages of feeding upon the bread of life. Here's how we do it. Number one, aroma. Aroma. How many of you guys ever walked into a house where someone's been cooking up a storm, and as soon as you walk in the door, man, it hits you in the face, and it's like, oh, boy, I hope that's for me. Boy, I sure hope that's not for church tomorrow, man, because I could go for that right now. Man, you can almost feel your glands behind your jaws just like salivating, you know, and the smell as you just, you inhale and drink in that aroma, and it just goes right through the top of your head, and you're just like, oh, your stomach starts growling. You're like, man, what time is dinner? The aroma, when you smell that fragrance and you inhale it, it's almost intoxicating. And if you weren't hungry before, man, you are hungry now. It just fires up your appetite. You just want to sit down and eat. Well, you know, that's the way it is with Christ. When we sense his fragrance in those who know him, who are walking in his Spirit, there is a presence about them, a fragrance of holiness. And as we go near them and interact with them and we sense that presence of God upon them, we see how it changes, how they are so different from everyone else we know in the world. And there's something beautiful about that and attractive about that. There's something about that draws us, that makes us want to know what that is and to be a part of it and have it. That aroma of Christ on them. 2 Corinthians 2:14, Paul said, "Now, thanks be to God who always leads us to triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." Christians who walk with Christ have a fragrance about them. There's an aroma about us. There is something exuding from us that causes those called by God to be hungry for him. Something about us creates an appetite and a desire for God. So there's an aroma. That's the first part of feeding, is to hunger after Christ, to desire him. I know you know a lot of people who have no desire for the things of Christ. Some of them are people we love very much, and it breaks our heart when we try to share with them, and there's this wall that we can't get through. And there is no desire, no hunger, no thirst. They're so totally distracted with everything else in life. But when you see someone who's hungry, and you say something to them about the Lord, and suddenly their eyes light up, and they begin to process. You can hear the wheels turning in their head as they're beginning to think about what you're saying. And this hunger begins to come out inside of them. That's the first step, is to desire Christ. Do you desire Christ? Are you hungry for Him? Do you have an appetite for the Lord? I pray God would increase my appetite daily. He said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Glory. Number two, after smelling, there's tasting. You know what? I hope I'm getting your appetite worked up with all these words. You know, if you're sitting there squirming like, you know, "John, stop, I'm getting hungry." Good. That's what I'm trying to do. But I want you hungry for more than the bread of this world. I want you hungry for the bread which endures to everlasting life. Number one, smelling. Number two, tasting. After you smell that aroma for about 20 minutes and they finally set the plate down on the table, and you wash your hands and you sit down and you say grace. Yes. And you take that first bite. You can see it glistening on the fork. You know, it's moist. It's tender. There's heat coming off of it. And you put that thing in your mouth, and as it hits your tongue, man, the juices just flow out. And sometimes you don't even want to chew yet. You know what I'm saying? You just want to let that sit on your tongue and go, And it's so good. At least, hopefully, anyway, I could get the opposite reaction. For me, I don't know, I'm easy to please, man. When I put that food in my mouth, I'm a happy man. And it's a pleasant taste. Well, so it is with Christ. When we first come to Him and we taste His sweetness and we see the promises of God, when we've been hungry for so long and we spent our life searching and seeking and wanting and empty, and suddenly we taste the bread of life. There's a sweetness to it. There's a joy in it and a celebration. I mean, we don't even ask any questions. It's like, wow, where has this been all my life? And we just want to devour Him because He tastes so good. I love what it says in Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Psalm 119, 103, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. The promises of God, when we look at the promises of God, which in Christ are yes and amen, it's thrilling. It's exciting to see all that God has for His people that He loves, all that God has promised to us if we will follow Him. There's a sweetness and a savor to it. And so that's why when you get saved, sometimes you're like a little basket case running around just wanting to tell the world about Jesus. You're almost a little dangerous in a good way. But you know, then it comes time to grow up a little bit. And so after smelling and after tasting comes chewing. Chewing. This is when the Word of God challenges you to grow. This is when the Word of God rattles your cage a little bit. This is when the Word of God, when the Spirit of God through the Word of God puts His finger upon something in your heart or in your life and says, "That's mine. I want that. You need to give that to me. You need to look at this in a different light. You need to surrender that to me and begin to conform that to what my word says it ought to be." And it challenges us. It's when the word calls us to embrace the cross, to take up our cross and follow Christ. You have to chew on that a little bit. It's a little bit tougher. It's not so sweet. It doesn't go down so liquidy. It's solid food, and it calls us to chew upon it and consider and weigh what God is calling us to do.